The priest says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And the faithful respond, "It is right and just." And the priest replies with a saying of great theological importance. "It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God." You see, my brothers and sisters, it is fitting to give God thanks always and everywhere. It is appropriate for us to do so on sunny days and on rainy ones, when we feel like a million bucks, or when we're sick in bed, when we're attending weddings or the funerals of a loved one, when we get a promotion at work or a pink slip, when we win or when we lose. It is right and just to thank God at all times and places, because everything that happens, both what the world considers good and what it considers bad, God either wills or allows, seeking to bring spiritual good out of each. Our salvation, my friends, we boldly proclaim, rest in our gratitude, which opens us to receive grace. Thanking God in response to all God has done, therefore, my friends, is our sweet duty. This is a lesson we ponder today, and we ponder it from the pilgrims of old as we near the 400th anniversary of their first Thanksgiving. Of the 103 who disembarked from the Mayflower in Plymouth Harbor in December 1620, more than half died before the winter was over, including the governor, 10 of the 17 husbands, and 14 of the 17 wives. Those who avoided the grave remained in serious danger because of fevers, famine, and freezing temperatures. The 51 survivors easily could have looked at the previous 11 months as the worst year of their life. They had buried almost as half as many bodies in the ground as bushels of food that they had taken from the soil. And according to human logic, probably the last thing they should have done was to have a feast, giving thanks to the good Lord. They convened full of gratitude, however, because they realized that everything, adverse or propitious, life and even death, was part of God's plan for them on their journey, not merely to the new world, but to the new Jerusalem. That final destination and their faith in God who awaited them was what was giving meaning to all their sufferings and joys along the way. Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made the first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the pilgrims settled at Plymouth. It reads in part as such, and I quote, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and as much as he made the earth to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the ravages of the enemy, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, to gather at the meeting house on the hill, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 12 noon, you thought Father Cooper was long, on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since we pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for his blessings." You see, my friends, Thanksgiving Day is a time for us, like many, to count our blessings. Faith, life, family, friends, health, home, food, work, studies, talents, our country, and yes, my friends, also the gift of our crosses. And turn to God and to others and say thanks. It is a time for us to focus on eradicating the cancers that poison our capacity for gratitude. One is complaining, which leads us to criticize situations and people rather than find good in them, to obsess about what we don't have rather than to thank God and others for what we do. Another is consumerism, which trains us to believe that we're never going to be happy unless we get the latest smartphone, clothing, or wonder drug, and unless we get our own way in everything and we get it so immediately. It encourages us to relate to the world not with appreciation, but with a sense of entitlement, resentment, and envy. It is forming legions of never-satisfied spoiled brats across generations who, rather than expressing gratitude for what they've already received while asking how they may be a blessing to others, instead leads only to taking for granted past generosity and always asking the question, what have you done for me lately? In the book of Leviticus, there are many laws that are laid out for the Jewish people. And one of the laws that was laid out very carefully was the law in order to offer a thanksgiving offering to God. That is, when they recognized that God had given them all that was good, and they wanted to give an offering of thanksgiving, the way it was done was specifically spelled out according to the law. For the Christian people, gratitude must be at the very center of our lives. Because of all the things that Jesus wanted to draw attention to, the one thing that he held up as the most important was this offering, this sacrifice of thanks that we need to give to God in the Eucharist. And so as we gather today to thank God for all the blessings that he has given to us, not only this day, but throughout our lives, do not forget to thank God for the suffering. Do not forget to thank God for the people who have made your life miserable this year. You think that's strange? Because you see, my friends, of all the people, they are the ones who have helped you to grow the most in virtue. Yes, thank God for your friends, indeed. But also thank God for those who you might not consider your friends, because they have helped you very much. Thank God for all the sufferings, because it is through suffering alone that we are really able to grow the most in holiness. So do not shun all those things, but embrace them and thank the good Lord. Many people will be rejoicing today just because they have a day off, because they can sit in front of the TV set and watch a couple of football games, because they have a table filled with food and they can fill their bellies to the brim. But they rejoice only in their pleasure, in their comfort, in their own ease, rather than rejoicing in God who has provided this for all of us. The 9 lepers, my brothers and sisters, I think, were probably just as happy that they had been healed as the one who came back. But you see, my friends, only one of them came back to offer thanksgiving to God. As we come to the Eucharist today, as we come now forward to offer the sacrifice of thanks to the Lord, take all those sufferings and all those sacrifices, as well as all your gratitude, and put it and all of them on the paten and place them in the sacred chalice. Offer them to God in union with the suffering and gratitude of Jesus Christ as the one pure sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, our spiritual worship. And as we gather here, my friends, on this Thanksgiving morn, let us remember that not only today as a national day of Thanksgiving, but as a people of God, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. As the old spiritual hymn goes, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day he's blessing me. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Take time to glorify the Lord today. My brothers and sisters, we gather here this morning to glorify the Lord.